If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
I wonder, President Jefferson, thank you for joining us, what it would have been like if ChatGPT had written the Declaration of Independence, what that would have sounded like. Good morning. Welcome to Chicago and WGN Radio, sir.
Good morning to you. Well, I think that it probably would have gotten the main points right, but the literary flourishes, I think, would have been beyond it.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. That's a lot of words to say something simple. I don't know if it would have contracted your sentences or expanded them and made them even more flowery.
Well, I don't know either, but, you know, I'm famous for having a lucid, clear prose style. That's why I was chosen by the Second Continental Congress to write a declaration of our national independence. And the preamble, which is now the most famous part of it, was something that any one of the members of the Second Continental Congress could have written. But let me say, and I hope I don't sound boastful, probably none of them could have written it in so extraordinary a way.
I think there's no question about that. It's interesting to me. We're talking to Thomas Jefferson, and he is a friend of this show, and he joins us each year up on a stage somewhere in the Chicago area. November 4th, he and I will talk about issues then and issues today, and you get to ask him questions, too, about anything. And it's a wide-ranging world, especially when you go back a couple of hundred years. You know, it is interesting because the Declaration of Independence really sets out what it feels like to be an American. The Constitution says, and here's what that looks like. Here's the rules and regulations. And I think we're taking sort of the essence of what you wrote, and we're trying to apply it to a Constitution that I don't think works that well for us anymore. Do you know what I'm saying, Mr. Jefferson?
I do. So I think the Declaration of Independence is eternal, because it says that every human being is born with certain rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and that people have a right to revolution if their government fails to respect that. So that's an eternal truth. That's why I called it self-evident. But the Constitution is about mechanisms. How do you create a Senate? What happens in an impeachment? How is a treaty ratified? What powers does the Congress have, etc.? And I suggested in a letter to James Madison from France in 1787, I was serving as the American ambassador there, that in fact we should tear up the Constitution once every 19 years so that it stays fresh, so that it continues to resonate with the actual needs and challenges of the American people.
Or at least I wish they would have been more, a little more specific. Like, what did they mean in the Second Amendment? How do we really apply the First Amendment? And who needs the Third Amendment anymore anyway, right? That's housing quarter troops. That's not an issue in America today. So, we revere the Bill of Rights, and I know we should in principle, but I just don't think those documents serve us that well anymore. I wish they would have said something about term limits for U.S. senators, Mr. Jefferson.
Well, I wanted term limits for everybody, for representatives, for senators, for presidents and vice presidents, and even carefully for the Supreme Court. You know, 9 men, unelected, unaccountable, should not have life tenure. There should be some principle of rotation. So, yes, I did not have any hand in the Constitution, as you know, or the Bill of Rights. But when I saw them in Paris, I said, we need term limits. We need a prohibition on a national debt. And we need to allow people to object conscientiously from military service.
I think our debt's now $33 trillion. It's something like that. I don't know if you know what a trillion is, but I think we're underwater to the tune of about 32 or 33 trillion.
Yeah, that's about my own personal debt at the time of my death. You know, I lived beyond my means all of my life, sir.
Yeah, that is kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, here you are saying we should not have a federal debt. How much debt did you die with? How much debt did you leave to your daughter?
Well, she didn't really have to handle it, but $108,000 in debt, most of it accumulated in the last couple of years of my life. I died on the 4th of July, 1826, as you know. And so $108,000 then would be you know, several million dollars, maybe $8 or $9 million in your time. And look, I was an extravagant person. I bought all the wine that I ever wanted. I bought all the books that I ever wanted. I bought all the musical instruments that I ever wanted. I bought all the scientific devices that I ever wanted. I rebuilt my house several times and built a second octagonal home in Bedford. So I was extravagant. But even if I had lived more carefully, I probably would have died in debt because the tobacco economy and, of course, slavery were ruinous financially.
Ruinous? That was not a profitable way to make a living?
No, because, and I want to be very careful here, there is no justification for slavery, so let me just say that. But if you have 200 slaves, when they grow old and infirm, you can't turn them out. You still have to house them and feed them and clothe them and take care of their basic medical needs and so on. So once you're involved in the odious institution of slavery, as I admit I was all of my life, you have a huge responsibility to that group, that set of people, that extends way beyond their capacity to earn a profit for you in the field.
Wow. I had never thought about it in those terms. And that's the sort of range of conversation that you and I sometimes have. It turns on stage to the dark truth of what it was like in the 1800s. And then we talk about things today, like what do you make of the Bears' chances, or do you think we should have term limits, or what about the medical and mental abilities of some of our current leaders? What should we do about that? And that's what we talk about when we talk with Thomas Jefferson. Our Chicago take today, our preview of our conversation. I wouldn't call it a preview, actually, because I don't know what we'll talk about specifically on stage. Sponsored by the Hagerty Auto Group at HagertyAutoGroup.com. Ooh, you should have gotten a Chevy Silverado. That would have made life around the farm a lot easier.
Yeah, where's the payola? You know, so, but let me say this. You know, what I object to in our conversations, which I always very much look forward to,
yes,
is that behind the curtain, you stick truth serum into my neck, and then I have to tell the whole truth about my life, some of which is not that glamorous, and some of which probably is upsetting to people.
It goes that way sometimes. It's always entertaining. I will say we do laugh a lot, and not at your expense when you're on stage too, though. So let's have that conversation. It's going to be Thursday, November the 4th. Saturday, November 4th. And it's at the Tivoli Theater again. We're looking forward to you visiting. The tickets went on sale yesterday, sir, and they are selling briskly.
I'm very glad to hear that. I very much look forward to our conversation. And let me just say, slavery aside, you would be infinitely better off in Jefferson's universe than in your own.
What do you mean by that?
We had it right. The people were sovereign. They were still in control. 97% of the American people were farmers. They were very lightly taxed. In fact, there were no federal taxes during my administration, my 2 years as president. We had an isolationist foreign policy. Shall I go on?
No. We will talk to you on stage when you come to Chicago. Thank you again, sir.
You are most welcome, sir.
That's Thomas Jefferson.